Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 4. While you're turning there, I just want to say I'm so happy to have my mom here today. We've been praying for her, my sister Debbie, my brother Tom. It's great to have family here. Chapter 4 of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I want to stop right there for just a moment. You remember last week we looked at the baptism of Jesus. That's how Matthew chapter 3 ends. And I find it interesting that immediately after Jesus' baptism, he's doing battle with Satan. And I think that's a lesson for us to grab hold of. The devil hates it when we make a commitment to Jesus through Christian baptism, and it's not going to take him very long before he is right there on our doorstep ready to do battle with us. He wants to bring us down. He is tireless. He is relentless. And it's not just the new Christian that he is doing battle with. He's doing battle with all of us. Those of us who have been in the faith for a long time, for years and years, he is still attempting to bring us down. And we need to recognize his tactics. But I have good news for you this morning. He can be resisted. Amen? He can be overcome. We do not have to be afraid or worried. He can be resisted through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Now, there's a bit of information here in this first verse that I don't want to gloss over. It says, the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It sounds to me like the Spirit is actually leading Jesus to be the aggressor in this battle. Jesus is not waiting for the devil to come to him and tempt him. Rather, Jesus, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, is going out into the wilderness for the purpose of fighting the devil. He is saying to the devil, "Bring it on, big boy. Show me what you got, because I have come here to this earth to take you down." And that really is one of the reasons that Jesus came to this earth, to do battle with the evil one. He did not come here to lose that battle to the devil. He came here to win that battle. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Hebrews 2, verse 14 has a similar message. It says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil." Jesus came here to win the battle against Satan. And praise the Lord, he did win that battle. For a moment, let me just share with you about this enemy of ours. He is very real. Peter says that he is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You do know that the devil was once an angel in heaven. In fact, the scripture tells us that he was a very beautiful angel. He was an angel who had authority there in heaven, but that may have been his problem. He became self-centered, and he concocted a plan to try and overthrow the government of God. He wanted to ascend to the throne, the scripture says, but God threw him out, along with one-third of all the angels who had joined in with him. They could not stand to the power and authority of God. So, in order to get back at God, Satan and his cohorts began attacking God's most precious creation, mankind. And their goal can be summed up in the names that are assigned to their leader in Revelation chapter 9. He is called Abaddon, which means destruction. He is also called Apollyon, which means destroyer. Satan's mission is to bring destruction upon you and upon me. And there's a whole list of names that we can find of Satan in Scripture. And from each of those names, we can understand him just a little bit better. He is called the devil here in Matthew chapter 4. Do you know what the word devil means? Do you know what the name devil means? It means slanderer, false accuser. Perhaps that's why he is called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. He is constantly pointing his finger at us, condemning us. He is slandering us. He has nothing good to say about any one of us. He hates us. He hates you. He hates me. He is quick to point out to us everything that we have done that is wrong. And he wants to say to us, you are no good. How could God love you? With all the sin that is in your life, you are worthless. You cannot be forgiven. You cannot be used by God. That's Satan pointing his finger at you and at me and slandering us. Jesus called him a liar, the father of lies. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he's called a murderer. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, he is called our adversary. Understand, brother and sister, he is against us. He has no good in mind for us. Chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 3, he is called the tempter. He is the source of all temptation. God doesn't tempt us, but certainly Satan tempts us. He tempts us to follow after our own lust and to turn away from the one who loves us the most. Let me read to you verse 2 of Matthew chapter 4. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. 40 days of fasting and praying. 40 days of battle between these two superpowers. Can you imagine going 40 days without food? I mean, think about that. What's the longest period of time that you personally have ever gone without food? For me, it's been 3 days. 3 days that I have gone without food, and that was a challenge for me. Jesus went 40 days without eating, and he was in complete control of his body and his mind. You see, there's where the real battle is. It's here. It's not here. It's here. And Jesus had complete control of his entire being. I thought it was interesting, something that Mark Moore said in his commentary about this. He said, physically, Jesus was empty, but spiritually, he was full. And then he went on to say this, too often, our experience is the reverse. Think about that. Our experience is the reverse. Physically, we are filled up, but spiritually, too often, we are empty. We need to make sure that we're seeking Him with our whole heart. I'm thinking about, for me, I don't miss too many meals. But I need to make sure that I am seeking to be filled up with Jesus Christ. Jesus was in the driver's seat. His stomach was not in the driver's seat. And I might add a footnote that Luke includes in his writing, because in Luke's gospel, he's covering the same account. Chapter 4 of his gospel, verse 1, he says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Not only was he led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, he was also filled up with the Holy Spirit. The word full means completely covered. The Holy Spirit was living inside of him, permeating every part of his being, and he was helping Jesus do battle with this enemy, and he was helping Jesus with this 40-day fast. Jesus was not doing this by himself. He had the Spirit's power and presence inside of him. And Matthew says, at the end of 40 days, Jesus became hungry. That simply means that every bit of stored up fat and energy that was in Jesus' body had been used up in this 40-day fast. It was now time for Jesus to eat. If he didn't start eating, he would start starving. And by the way, some might and have questioned whether a 40-day fast is even possible. Is it possible to go that long without food? It's not the first time that somebody has gone 40 days without food. You look into the Old Testament, Elijah went 40 days without food. Moses went 40 days without food. And in fact, if you want to check it out, get on the internet, you can read accounts of people even in present day living who have fasted for 40 days, and they've told their story about it. It's possible. Let me read to you verse 3 out of Matthew chapter 4. And the tempter, Satan, came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Satan is so crafty, and he is so smart to hit us at our weakest point, isn't he? Jesus has gone 40 days without food. He's hungry. Satan is right on time as he's there. And he says to Jesus, "Why don't you just give in to the flesh and turn these stones into bread?" The point is, Satan knows our point of weakness. And that's where he will hit us the hardest. He loves to dangle the flesh in front of us. That's why so many people fall to immorality and pornography. The flesh has such a strong pull to it. And if we are not careful, and if we are not filled up with the Holy Spirit of God, we will find ourselves enticed and lured into the lust of the flesh. Let me read to you verse 4 out of Matthew chapter 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, we will talk about this as this sermon goes along, but I want you to notice, and I'll point this out to you several times through the course of this sermon, Jesus answered the temptation with the scripture. He used the word of God like a sword, and he resisted the temptation to give in to the flesh. Let me read on in this text, and I'll deliberately just move through the end of verse 11, because I ultimately want to talk to you about how do we today overcome temptation. Verse 5 through 7 reads this way, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Have you noticed the first two temptations here actually start out the same way? Satan says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread." If you are the Son of God, then jump from here down to there, and the angels will bear you up. Jesus didn't have to prove to the devil who he was. Nor was he going to get into the theatrical to get a crowd to follow him. He would not give in to Satan's agenda. Rather, he would stay with God's agenda. And note again, he answers the scripture, or he answers the temptation with scripture. Look at verses 8 and 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" I'll tell you, folks, Satan's promises are empty. He will promise you things that he cannot give to you. He will promise you life when all he can give to you is death. He will promise you a joy ride, and he will promise you happiness, and in the end, you will find that's not what he can give at all. What he can give to us is misery and brokenness. He's a liar. What he promises us, it looks good, and it may even feel good for a while. Hebrews 11:25 talks about the passing pleasures of sin. It may be fun for a season, but once he gets you fully into his grasp, that's when he will drop the anvil on your head. That's when the bottom will fall out from underneath you. And the truth is, he's just a liar. He cannot deliver on his promises. His promises are empty. The promise that is true is what Jesus has said about him, that what he will give to us is destruction. And all we have to do is just look around us and see the evidence of people whose lives are shipwrecked and they are full of despair. They have given themselves to the lies of the evil one, and all they have to show for it is destruction. I was looking on my phone just a couple of days ago, looking on Fox News headlines and just seeing what was going on in the world. And I noticed this one headline, a lady named Stephanie Adams. I don't know if that name is familiar to you, but she was referred to as a supermodel, and she's had all kinds of quote-unquote success in her life according to the standards of the world, but she ended her life this week. She climbed up to the 25th floor of a hotel in New York City with her 7-year-old son in her arms, and she plunged to the sidewalk below. I mean, according to the world, this lady, she had all kinds of success going for her. But she didn't apparently have Jesus in her life. And not only did she take her own life, she took the life of her 7-year-old son because she didn't want her ex-husband to have him. Sad. Satan cannot deliver of what he promises to us. His promises are empty. Notice Jesus answered that temptation given to him with a scripture. Let me read to you verse 10 out of Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and behold, an angel came and began to minister to him." Interestingly, Luke, in his writing, adds this little phrase that is worth mentioning. Chapter 4 of Luke, verse 13, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." You see, the devil wasn't finished with him yet. He had lost this battle for sure, but he would wait for another opportune time, and he would strike again. The devil is so opportunistic. He waits, he prowls, he lurks. He will not be late when an opportunity arises. His mission is to bring you down and to bring me down. He wants to destroy us. And so for a few moments this morning, let me talk to you about how to overcome his temptations. Yes, we can overcome. Would you say that with me? We can overcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Apostle Paul is writing there. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." Let those words sink into your heart and into your mind for a moment. In fact, I want to encourage you to memorize that verse. Think about what that verse is saying. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. What that means is simply this: God will not let you be tempted with something that you cannot overcome. If you are being tempted with a temptation from the evil one, it's already passed the screening of God. And he has full confidence in you that you can overcome that temptation. And he will provide for you the strength to do that. He provides for you the Holy Spirit who is in you, who empowers you to overcome that temptation. Let me give to you actually four ways to overcome temptation. And we see this through Jesus in his victory in the wilderness over the evil one. First of all, if you want to overcome temptation, you have to hide God's word in your heart, and then you use it like a sword against the devil. Psalms 119, verses 9 and 11 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word." And then verse 11 says, "Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." Do you want to overcome temptation? Then get into the word of God and use it like a sword against the devil. James chapter 4 says, "Resist the devil and he will," what? "Flee from you." And one of the ways that we resist him is by quoting scripture to him. He cannot stand the word of God. He cannot stand against the word of God. He will leave if you start quoting scripture to him. If he tempts you to worry, quote scripture to him. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You tempted to be afraid? I texted a lady just this morning. She's a friend of mine, have known her for years. Her mother died yesterday. And I know this lady depended a lot on her mom. She loved her mom dearly, but she depended a lot on her mom. And I know that she is shaken this morning. And so I texted her. I said, "Sharon, I'm praying for you, and I want you to think about Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, and I want you to have this in your heart. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." If when she is tempted to be afraid, if she will quote that scripture, the devil will run from her. You tempted to be bitter? Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." Whatever it is that you are being tempted with, there is a scripture in this book for you, and you find that scripture. If you need help finding it, come to me and I will help you find it. There is scripture that will set the devil on the run. He cannot stand against this book. And you know, if we're going to be quoting scripture, that means we're going to have to get into the book more than what we sometimes do. I want to challenge you to love this book and to cherish this book, to treasure this book, to get into this book, and to be the student of this book that God wants you to be. Get into this book more than what you get into Facebook. Get into this book more than what you are on your phone. I think sometimes we're too busy. We are running here and there and yonder, and we don't have time to get into the book. We need to make the time. We need to discipline ourselves and become students of this book so that we can become more victorious in our walk against the evil one who wants to destroy us. This is how Jesus overcame temptation in his life. The devil says, "Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That is a direct quote from Moses in Deuteronomy. He was tempted to jump off of the temple and to have God's angels bear him up. And he said to the devil, "It is written, you shall not test the Lord your God." And by the way, I will point out to you, I don't know if you know this, but dig a little bit here in the scripture and you see this to be true. Satan is quoting scripture here to Jesus. But do you know, he misquotes it. Because if you look at the scripture of the Old Testament that Satan is referencing, he misquotes it. And that's what Satan will do. He will twist the truth just a little bit. He might choose to use part of the truth, but he will never use the whole truth. He can't, because he is a liar. He is the father of lies. He cannot speak the truth to us. Everything that comes out of his mouth has at least a partial lie to it. And Jesus speaks the truth back to him by quoting Moses and saying to him, "You shall not test. It is written, you shall not test the Lord your God." And then Satan tempts him one more time. He says, "If you will bow down to me, I will give to you all the kingdoms of the world." And Jesus again quotes scripture to him saying, "It is what? It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Brother and sister, get into the Word so that you can overcome temptation with the power of God's Word. Secondly, be filled and led by the Spirit of God. I've already pointed out to you what the gospel writers have written. Jesus was both filled with the Spirit and he was led by the Spirit. And we need to have both of those things true in our lives. We need to have the Holy Spirit going before us, leading us, and we need to have him filling us up with himself. And the same Spirit who was available to Jesus in the wilderness is available to you and me today as well. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." We don't have to give in to the flesh. Instead, we should be filled with the Spirit. And so, let's ask God. Let's ask him for his Holy Spirit to be filling us. Let's long for the Spirit to fill us. Let's become thirsty more and more for the Spirit. Invite him to rule in your life. We don't want the Spirit to be such that just every Sunday morning we pull him out from a corner in our heart, and it's time for the Spirit to be there in the forefront, and then when church is over, we put him back there in the corner. No, we want him permeating every part of our being, so that he's making a difference in how we speak and what we, how we think and how we spend our money. And he's making a difference in how we react in those trigger moments. And he's making a difference in our family relationships. And he's making a difference in where we are going and who we are influencing. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Don't get drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." We need him. We need the Holy Spirit if we want to overcome temptation. Number three, pray. And then pray some more. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days praying and fasting as he did battle with Satan. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of prayer if you want to overcome temptation. We must rely on him and be connected to him if we want to win this battle. You remember what Jesus said to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane? You remember Peter and James and John have gone a little bit further into the garden with Jesus as he's praying, and he comes back and he finds them what? Sleeping. And this is what he says to Peter: "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. He says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." What do we need to pray for? We need to pray for strength. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for the Spirit's filling. We need to pray that his victory will be our victory. We need to pray the word. We need to spend time in praise to God and thanksgiving to God. We need to be confessing our sins to God. The more prayerful you are, the more like God you will become. Let me ask you, have you ever spent time in prayer and fasting just asking God to help you be stronger in Jesus? Have you ever spent time praying and fasting that God would help you overcome that certain temptation that keeps getting you? How about this? Have you ever spent time praying and fasting for your kids and your grandkids to be totally God's? It would be worth our time to do that. As parents, as grandparents, that we would take the time to lay aside the meals, the cheeseburgers, the pizzas, that we're filling ourselves up with, and that we would fill ourselves up for a while with Him. And we're asking Him, Lord God, would You guard my children? Would You guard my grandchildren? Would You grow them up in You? How about this? Number four. In the name of Jesus, tell the devil to leave. In the name of Jesus, tell the devil to leave. Did you see how Jesus responded in verse 10 to Satan? He said straightforwardly to him, "Go, Satan." The New American Standard, in the translation that I've read for so many years, says, "Be gone, Satan." If you're reading from the New International Version, it says it this way: "Away from me, Satan." The New Living Translation says it this way: "Get out of here, Satan." That's what Jesus said to him. Talk straight to him when he's tempting you. But be sure that you are using the name of Jesus as you command Satan to leave. You and I have no authority over Satan, but he has authority over Satan, and we can use his name and tell Satan to leave. And we need to do that more. Jesus is the strong man. Remember the story? In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is saying, if you want to get the strong man away, you get the stronger man to get the strong man away. And Jesus is the stronger man who will take that strong man, Satan, who wants to take you down. Jesus, the stronger man, can take him and tell him to leave. Every one of us are involved in this spiritual battle. He, the devil, has his sights set on us. But praise God, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We can win this battle if we follow the example of Jesus. We need to be in the Word and use it like a sword. Just stick it to him. He has to run when we use the Word against him. We need to be filled up with the Spirit of God. We need to pray, and we need to tell the devil to leave in the name of Jesus. Do you believe we can win this battle? We can, if we follow the example of our commander in chief, Jesus. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for coming and winning this battle for us. We need you. We need you desperately. And you have shown us the pathway that we need to follow. And I know, Lord, that we all will fall short. We're not wanting to. We try not to, but we do. We fall short. We sin. And at that point, Lord, we trust in your grace, and we know that your grace is sufficient for us. And we thank you for that. But we do pray, as we are in this battle, that we can follow in your footsteps, dear Jesus. And we'll depend on your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please.